Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first. The hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Bam! Holy shitballs.
Hi. Loki dies.
We get to speak about Infinity War.
Well, that happened just about as fast as it did in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are. If you haven't figured out, this is a spoiler full Avengers
so
Infinity
full.
War
they
conversation.
Fucking killed Dumbledore, y'all.
Snape killed Dumbledore.
Yeah. So
Gandalf dies.
Snape really wanted to bang Harry's mom, y'all.
Okay. So much that he treated her kid like shit.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, we're not talking Harry Potter. We're talking, Avengers.
Then Avengers.
Lando was Rey's father.
Oh, God.
Could be.
So if you haven't figured it out, John Harkness is here again.
What's up?
What's going on?
And if you didn't hear his special announcement, make sure you
go back one episode. Yes, go back and read that.
Go back and listen to that.
Read the liner notes. You'll get all the dish.
We've all gotten the plague, evidently, since last time.
Pick up a zine at your underground.
Jesus.
I know I'm old.
Right. Zine.
I love zines.
So fucking
can I just say that now the Spider-Man hand on the wall is a little bit more poignant than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, that was one that really killed me. Okay, so we watched Avengers Infinity War, speaking of killing people.
And what the fucking fuck?
Yeah.
I know.
So Loki and Heimdall die before the title hits the screen.
Yeah.
That's when they're like, we're not fucking around.
And I think it's for good. I think it's for realsies. At least for Heimdall, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty
it's for
sure
realsies.
Heimdall's is for realsies. I think, you know, Thor kind of laid out that it's either a herring or a clue when he said, well, he's died before.
Yeah, but then I think this one's for real.
But this one might be for real.
If they can renegotiate the contract before Avengers 4.
The thing for me was not so much being surprised at who died, but I was really surprised at who lived.
Yeah.
I expected a lot of the core crew from Avengers 1 to end up dead because I was like, these fuckers been doing these movies for 10 years.
But this is only part one.
True. True. I mean, we didn't have porn stash Chris Evans, so.
Yeah. And his contract is up.
Yeah.
And he did not resign, so.
Well.
But we'll get to that in a bit, so.
So well, you kind of already got to it.
Yeah, but well, no, I got to Loki and Heimdall. I didn't, that's all I saw.
So Tiffles, as somebody who's not watched every single Avengers movie.
I have.
You've watched all of them?
I can't. Can barely remember what happened last week in Infinity War. So, I mean, I think we might be counting on a lot from me saying I've seen them all.
Oh.
But yes, I have.
It's okay. The standard excuse is I did a lot of drugs in the 90s and I can't remember shit.
I did a lot of drugs in the 90s. Can't remember anything.
You were like, what, 6 in the 90s?
I wish. I wish. But weirdly, 7. I can remember every frame of Isle of Dogs from 2 weeks before.
That's not the movie that we're reviewing right now.
So there's some dogs, and they got sent to an island. So Infinity War. I liked this movie. I did not love this movie.
I think this is a part one movie.
Yeah.
I felt like the best thing I can think of is watching part one of the last Hunger Games, where it's
Jesus, no.
Look, we're going to do a bunch of shit, but it's really just all fodder for the next movie. Like, it's just all
set up.
I think
set
this, up. Yeah, yeah, this was set up, but I thought it was good set up, mostly because I really like Thanos.
See, I thought he was boring as hell.
Oh, no, not me. I actually really
I was just glad to see a CGI character move, speak, and act. He's a really great voice actor.
Yeah.
And it all matched. And and this is the thing. When I saw Thanos, I was like, I hate his chin. It really bothered me. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to watch this movie.
Sack of chin.
Yes.
But yeah, Brolin delivers it with the voice acting. And you know, the capture, and I think he really, I didn't think about it, which is weird because before that I was just like, ooh, that's gross. But
yeah, no, I thought Josh Brolin did a great job as Thanos. And, you know, I really felt like the only spoilers I had seen going in was somebody said, do you think they were trying to make Thanos a sympathetic villain?
Character, yeah.
And they did. And you have to, because good villains have to have an element of sympathetic to them. Yeah. Otherwise, they're fucking worthless.
Although that kind of contradicts what you were saying about Jessica Jones season two.
But that's different than sympathy. That's different. There's a, with Thanos, you know he's insane. He totally believes what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, so did she. Because she was protecting her daughter.
They're not excusing anything Thanos does.
Okay.
They're just giving him a tiny bit of sympathy. Mostly because he truly believes what he's doing is right.
He is the hero of his story.
Yeah. In Jessica Jones, they just try to give an excuse for everything that her mom does. It's like, well, it's not her fault. It's really not her fault. Nobody's saying it's not Thanos' fault. It's totally Thanos' fault. Okay. But it's because he totally believes what he's... what he's selling.
The other thing that I thought they did a really good job of is that they avoid the fact that Thanos' motivation is to get laid.
Yeah, they took that out of the cinematic story.
Yeah.
And that was good.
Because in the comics, it was that he was trying to get the attention of Lady Death, right?
Yeah, he wants to bang Death.
Which is...
And not even like Neil Gaiman Death, who was kind of hot, but...
Not
like,
anime Lady Death either, right?
No. And not like...
she's like a rotting, almost like a zombie. It's sort of the look, right? It was it wasn't a good look.
No, and it's not hot death.
And she didn't really reciprocate. She just wanted people to die. And that's why she kind of went along with it, I felt like. But it's like, she never was like, oh, yes, Thanos, we'll run away once you kill half the people. No, it was just, okay, whatever you want to do is fine. I'm going to kill people.
Good job. But, people are dead. Rock on. I'm with it.
Yeah.
I did think it was interesting that, you know, he's going to kill 50% of the universe, basically. But he's very clear that it's not going to be, you know, only the poor people or only this type of people. It's going to be very indiscriminate.
Well, and that's what he did on Gamora's planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very clear. Although, you know, he did.
He saved her.
Yeah. Right. He saved cute little baby Gamora.
That's right.
And she was cute.
She was cute.
But she was also a good actress for her age, for what she had to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we'll see that little girl again in part two.
I mean, I assume she's under contract. and they shot that shit back to back, so it's not like she's gonna get old.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
They've already shot both parts, right?
Yeah, it's in post production because there's only a 1 year wait. I thought there was a 2 year wait.
No,
after they were like watching it, I was like, oh god, please, 2 years.
There's it's only 60 something superheroes. There's no way they're getting those people back if you lose them.
Yeah.
Somebody could just die, too, with that many people
involved. And I will say...
motorcycle accident, whatever. It's like crazy. I will
say, for as many characters that are in this movie, they did a fairly good job of giving everybody something to do.
I thought it was really well balanced. Yeah,
and the stitching of characters and the pairing of characters was really good.
Mm-hmm. Where was Hawkeye?
They actually talk about that when Mark Ruffalo, when Banner comes back, he kind of... asks
Nat.
Yeah, Nat.
Where's Hawkeye? And
she said Scott and
Clint
decided to, that they both have families, and so they're out. Which I also felt like was, okay, so if half of the world has died, is that how we get Clint and Scott in? Because they're on the IMDb. So do they watch their own kids, you know, pass away and or their wives or whatever, and they're like, we got to do this thing, we got to undo this thing. I'm assuming so.
There's the motivation there.
Who is Scott? Scott is
Ant-Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I think she said that they're both under house arrest because if you watch the trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp, he's under he's under house arrest. I'm assuming Clint is as well.
And that's the writing reason, which is really good, but still, why no Jeremy Renner?
I think they're saving him. Because at the end of this movie, you'll notice that with a couple of exceptions, it's just the original Avengers left.
Yeah. Totally noticed.
Yeah. You have Rocket and Nebula, but...
And Shuri.
Yeah.
You don't know if Shuri's there.
Well, that's true, we don't, but...
No, you don't see her after she falls out of that window.
We're assuming.
Is that the Scarlet Witch?
No, that is Shuri's Black Panther's
sister. Oh, right. Yeah,
you don't see her after that. You see the general.
Well, yeah, she was there, though, right?
Yeah.
The general was left, yeah.
Okoye can't become Black Panther.
No.
But Shuri has.
Yeah, but you don't see her after that.
Yeah.
After Vision falls out the window, you don't see her again. So you don't know if she's still there or not.
But Letitia Wright's so adorable.
Let's face facts here. These people are coming back. It's not like the characters that are gone for good.
I know people who are really upset. I was like, no.
Y'all, they've already...
Yeah.
Tom Holland is still under contract for another Spider-Man movie. Little shit ain't dead.
No.
Well, and the other thing, too, is Doctor Strange actually says it was the only way.
Yeah.
And that was after how he said that he saw 46 million versions, and there was only one where it came out. So he obviously didn't tell the end game because he knew if he told, it wouldn't come out that way.
He was like, Stark has to be alive, so you spare Stark, I give you the stone.
Yeah.
Here we go. So,
I don't know. I wonder if it's going to be a Hawkeye thing. Maybe somehow Hawkeye saves the day and becomes the greatest Avenger. That would be kind of fucked up.
Because Hawkeye and Ant-Man both bring different skills to the party. I mean, Ant-Man can be not only tiny but huge, you know. And then there's the whole, why didn't Hulk come out the first time? And
Hulk got his ass kicked.
Right.
Hulk got his ass kicked, and Hulk is an id. So Hulk is just nothing but it. So once he got his ass kicked, he was like, no, I'm not coming out again. Forget it.
But from a directorial standpoint, he's like, okay, now because I didn't come out.
Yeah.
So
what's interesting, too, is in the trailer, it's not the Hulkbuster armor with Banner inside. It's Hulk. So is that what they already shot for 4? Mm. And they go back in time. They trick Thanos to go back. Trick Thanos into and using the time, go back, and then things have changed a little bit, and this Hulk is in play.
That could be.
It is CGI. It costs a little money to do a shot fully like that. They usually don't invest that kind of money into just a throwaway shot.
It's Disney, though. They might just screw with your head.
What do we think the budget was for this movie? Because, God.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Robert Downey Jr.
Over $300 million. Over $300 million, but it just today hit $800 million, and so they say Friday it's going to cross $1 billion. So it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
They only paid $3 billion for the whole fucking thing to buy Marvel Studios.
Yeah. We should have bought it, guys.
$3 billion. Sorry, $3 billion. But it's like they've already made that out of three movies. It's like it's a cash machine, and the same with Star Wars. It's like it seemed like a ton of money back then, but it's a bargain for what these things generate. Yeah. And it's like,
well, that's because in today's economy, IP is gold.
Yeah.
Intellectual property is worth more than anything.
Yeah.
And the IP that they bought when they... I would argue that the IP they bought when they bought Marvel was worth more than the IP they got with Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so
infinitely number of characters and... Yeah.
And you can take it in so many different directions. Star Wars is one person's vision expanded on by a universe. Yeah. Marvel is hundreds of people's vision corralled under one person of Stan Lee.
I mean, Star Wars is starting to spread out because you've got the Solo movie and you have Rogue One, and it's starting to spread
out. Which is what they had to do to make the IP worthwhile.
Yeah.
But still, there's certain canon that can't go away. Where, you know.
And we've proven time and again that you can do anything you want with comic books.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
And now that they've folded, now they're going to be folding X-Men back into that universe. It gives us the whole Siege Perilous storyline that we can go through, the whole mutant massacre.
Yeah. The Avengers versus X-Men down the road. Yeah. And it's
Deadpool could come to the Avengers. They could kick him out, but he could come.
Did you see the Twitter where Ryan Reynolds posted the photo of his rejection letter from the Avengers?
No, but that's great.
Yeah.
They're like, congratulations on your opening weekend. And then there's a picture of a rejection letter from Tony Stark. It's like, no, never. Go bug Professor X. Yeah.
I will say it's awesome how Marvel immediately, like, when they broke the opening record, like, the president of Marvel Studios has a thank you letter, thanks Thanos and the fans. And it's just like... You don't see that with. They're having fun with it. And I think that's what I've always loved about Marvel. And I forget who was our guest, but I was like, the thing that's always been the thing is like Marvel has all this, just the word is just amazing. And then you have DC and it stands for Detective Comics, but they never reference that anymore. And people go, what's a DC?
And it's, yeah. It's well, just, even Stan just Lee the, says it in yeah. his interviews. He's like, what's a dick? I mean, DC.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like they have a huge advantage and it's just amazing. Yeah.
It's like the latest Deadpool trailer. Oh, so dark. Are you sure you're not from the DC universe?
Oh my gosh.
And I will say for a movie that kills off half of the universe, this is a funny movie. It has very funny bits. Yes.
Oh my God. What was one of your funniest moments?
The whole sequence where the Guardians pick up Thor. And
yes.
And he's like, we stop rubbing the muscles.
Yeah, especially the eye. The eye was, oh my God.
I want to watch that.
That did disappoint me a little bit. I understand why they gave Thor back his eye, but he just lost the eye. Let him be.
Yeah, it didn't cost him anything.
Yeah. Ragnarok just didn't, well, I mean, it did cost him something now because half of his people are dead, but.
Yeah, wow. Well.
But yeah, I was kind of disappointed when they gave Chris Hemsworth back the eye because I think he was rocking that patch look. Pretty well.
Pirate no, Angel. I just Pirate kept thinking Angel. Doctor Who, and it's like, does Amy Pond go up and say, yeah, we did that?
Or Karen Gillan.
Well, yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, done that, been there. Oh, British, thanks.
I love the whole rabbit thing.
Oh, my God. God.
We were just watching the original Guardians of the Galaxy was on, and all I could think of was rabbit. It was like, no.
I absolutely adored it when Bucky picked up Rocket and just spun around with the guns.
Oh, my God. That was so awesome.
And what a great team they are. Yeah. I mean, that would be an awesome comic book, really.
Like, how much for the gun?
Extreme justice.
How much for the arm?
I'm going to get that arm.
Because they're both borderline psychopaths.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then the other one of my favorite moments too, from a poignant standpoint, but when the general and Black Widow were saving Scarlet Witch, and here's two non-supers that happen to be just like, you know, and they're like, where was she, you know? And then they're saving her, and I thought that was another thing. And even the same thing with Falcon, where he flies in and it's like, he's surrounded by supers. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm going to help as much as I can. So
even Rhodey to a large extent. I mean, Rhodey can barely walk because he's paralyzed. But, you know, the War Machine's out there.
Yeah.
Fucking shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even I kind of like Bruce Banner in the Hulkinator. Yeah. I got this. Got this.
Face plant.
It was actually nice to see Mark Ruffalo for a while.
For more than a minute. Yeah. Other than saying I didn't win, that doesn't seem right from Ragnarok. But no, I like the fact that we didn't lose some of the banter that we had in Thor Ragnarok, because I think that was essential. But I also like the fact that even though it was funny, it wasn't over the top rolling in the aisles funny, because it would have been too sharp a contrast between the storyline that they were trying to set down. It was a good mix.
And I also thought that the Vision Scarlet Witch storyline was really good. I thought it was clean because I thought their relationship was a little muddy in Civil War.
Yeah.
So I thought that this cleaned it up a lot, and really, even in a very short scene early on, it showed the depth to which these two characters cared for one another. And I thought that was really good, because in the comics, that took a long time to develop. It was a real slow build.
Well, and it had to be there. And I think the fact that they let Vision appear in a cloaked version of himself assisted with that as well. Because you're like, she's fucking a robot.
Yeah.
You know? He's so much more than a robot.
But he's so much more than a robot. But, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a Shape of Water. He's fucking a fishman, you know? So,
I really like that, they let her act and they gave her some lines because it's... And I'll say, you know, Scarlett Johansson really did not get any juicy kind of acting bits to me in this one, but so I think it's good, Scarlett.
She didn't even explain her blonde hair.
That'll be.
She went to the hairdresser. Who cares?
Well, you know, but it would. I mean, Banner could have asked her and be like, "You changed your hair." You know,
I would have liked a lot more interaction between those two. because yeah. after 2 years,
there was a tension there.
There was.
Yeah. There was awkward. And
that, but that's a well acting, the fact that without words, it was kind of obvious what was going on. So
yeah, but one more scene with, I wouldn't have minded one more scene with like the old crew.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
all in one room would have been nice to where, wow. We're all
that was my good. That was my thing, is like throughout the movie I was kind of waiting for that moment where, to your point, like the whole crew was together, and I think that that kind of is part of my you know, hesitation about loving it. It's
it was
just
a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, it's sort of like watching Game of Thrones and waiting for the Stark family to reunite, and you're like,
waiting,
oh, it almost happened, but then it didn't, and you're just kind of left with this emptiness.
But for the first half of the movie, that's kind of where they want you to be. Yeah. Is left with emptiness. True. So
yeah, and they achieved. Moved Tony off. They moved Tony off world very early on in the movie.
Yeah, I thought the Tony Spider-Man relationship was nice.
Yeah. That's always been, I think in the three movies that they've actually been Tony and Spider-Man, it's really, they've written that very, very well. And I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
I do too.
Oh my God. And of all the disintegrations, his was probably the most painful to me.
Yeah. Mm.
Him and Groot.
Yeah.
Okay. But now can we talk about Peter Dinklage?
Yes. Oh my God, Peter Dinklage.
The largest person in the movie.
the largest dwarf ever.
I do want to, I haven't gone to see it a second time. We were going to go on Sunday and we decided not to because it was opening weekend and I was just not dealing with the crowds. And, you know, we talked in our spoiler-free review about the fact that maybe the glasses made things too dark. And I didn't agree with you at the time, but the only thing was it took me a minute to see his hands.
Yeah.
And I think maybe in 2D, and well, now that I know what's going on.
I didn't see a difference. I watched it in 2D.
And did you find it?
I found it a lot easier. And that could just very well be my eyes.
No, it's not just your... I think, granted, I think every 3D experience takes a little bit of an adjustment to begin with. But like I felt like throughout that whole first sequence where we have Vision and the Scarlet Witch and they're in wherever they are, Amsterdam, London, whatever.
Scotland.
Okay, Scotland, yeah. You see how well I remember details, right? Like, literally, this was just less than a week ago.
90s.
But on Isle of Dogs, there was...
Scene 5.
Paul Bettany was on Isle of Dogs. Right.
But, I felt like for the first, like, 10, 15 minutes, I, like, couldn't see any of that. Huh. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, there's a point where somebody falls out of a window, and I was like, it was like a 5 second lapse where I'm like, oh, that's what happened. So it's not just you.
I didn't have a problem. I wear glasses on top of the 3D glasses on top of glasses, but yeah.
I actually don't like 3D. I don't think it's very rare that it adds anything to the movie. We're letting some air in.
I hate 3D.
Yeah, I don't. It's very rare. The only time I have actually enjoyed a 3D experience is I saw it on IMAX, and that was Doctor Strange. And I think that movie lent itself very well to the psychedelic, almost drug-induced.
I really wanted to see that movie really, really high, but I stopped doing drugs, so that's hard.
I saw it on a couple of drinks.
We have pain pills now.
This is true. Right. But I was really looking for a mind-altering experience.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Just taking the edge
take
off.
Take an Ambien and then don't go to sleep.
And I will say, it could be that the two movies, because I saw Black Panther in 3D as well. Yeah. And I think Ready Player One was in 3D, wasn't it? I can't remember if they did.
Not the sneak one.
Yes, you guys saw it in 3D. I remember in your review, you commented on...
No,
you commented that it would be too hard to watch
in 3D.
I was thinking that would be sensory overload.
The IMAX experience with Doctor Strange made it a lot easier for me to see it. And when you shrink it down to a normal screen and then try and do the 3D on top of it, to me, it muddies it visually. Mm.
I think the only like really satisfying 3D I've ever seen, and it wasn't the movie that was satisfying, but just the visuals, was Avatar. Just because the whole movie, it was shot for that kind of experience, and it was just like little things floating the whole time.
Yeah,
it never let up. Whereas, like, when you convert these movies, not everything's maximized for that. So it's like, it's just, there's nothing happening. You're
there
just
were
like,
several times where
I've got to wear the fucking goofy glasses off. The whole time.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah. And I'm wearing glasses on top of glasses. It does not.
Yeah, form, yeah. You're leaving out the greatest 3D movie ever, which was Jaws 3D.
Oh my God.
I mean,
true story real quick. My friend David Brown, who is running for the 10th district congressional seat, has a small part of that. They shot it, part of it at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
And he was at SeaWorld and he and his grandmother, and there's a quick scene there in the movie. Just walk in there. It's just such a crazy you said that.
Yeah. I love that film, though. It's so terrible, but I love it. Just Simon McCorkindale stuck in that shot in the shark's throat.
I caught a British man in my throat. Help.
And you don't know what the Heimlich.
You know what they need? The world needs an IMAX 3D Sharknado movie. Get on that shit, Asylum people.
I thought they already had worked on that. I thought that was
cross 4D. It over with Jaws. No, they
did 4D. You know, shaking your little chairs.
Yeah,
people behind you. Shaking
well, because they're all made for sci-fi. So
right. Well, but they did like. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Beside the point, my best 3D experience was Meet the Robinsons, which was a Disney film, and they actually had the snow where it felt similar to Avatar, but it was I saw that before Avatar, and so therefore the snow falling really felt like it was falling on you.
So it's like Martin Lawrence.
No,
it's about the little kid that he realizes he was. It's an anime.
Oh,
and he realizes that. He was accidentally not adopted into the right family.
That was really just a dude in the balcony of the theater sprinkling salt on your head.
That's the new 4D
experience. 3D experience.
That's what I do.
So yeah, so I don't think 3D much added anything to this, but that's just my opinion.
I bought the tickets for us in 3D because of the fact. Well, first of all, because I could get four seats together, and second on
Thursday
opening night
that was difficult. Yeah,
at the late hour that we bought them, and secondly, because of the Wakanda aspect of it that I'd seen in the trailers. I thought that maybe the 3D would be helpful for that. It didn't bother me like it bothered you guys, but I do feel like in 2D I'll probably pick up stuff. But I tend to pick up stuff on the second time through anyway.
Yeah. So.
It took me a while to figure out that it was Peter Dinklage.
Oh, really?
Really?
I knew from the minute he started talking because he had his Tyrion Lannister voice on.
Well, he didn't because he didn't speak immediately.
This is true.
So I was like, Wait, what?
I just recognized it and started laughing. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, I totally lost without laughing.
I was like, this is great. Like,
only if it kills me. Yes, that's what I mean by committing suicide.
I love all these like proper Marvel movie actors and X-Men crossover we have now because it's like him because he was Trask.
Wasn't
yeah,
he
was Trask, and then you've got Josh Brolin is Cable, which is a pretty major character. Not
yeah.
So I mean that's and it's less CGI, which is nice. But
you know, there's going to be a Thanos or a Thanos joke in Deadpool 2. There's got to be at least one.
I've already
Thanos joke.
Seen. Yeah, there's already one.
I wonder if there's going to be a Men in Black joke too.
Because Tommy Lee Jones in the Deadpool movie.
No. Josh Brolin played a young
J.
K. Oh, that's funny.
He played the young K in MIB3, which was actually a good movie. MIB2, MIB3, I enjoyed. Yeah. So,
can we have Tommy Lee Jones in a Marvel movie?
I think he should be.
Please,
I mean,
something other than Two Face.
The fact that we have Robert Redford and Michael Douglas and some of these others.
Glenn Close.
Yeah, I'm sad that Glenn Close hasn't come back.
They totally skipped over him stealing it from Xanax or from
Nova Corps.
So maybe that's going to come back, and also how Gamora got the Soul Stone.
She only knew where it was.
No, she said she had found it.
Yeah,
no.
I think she just
found the map,
and then she destroyed the map so nobody else could find it.
But then she stupidly called her sister. Why would you do that? Your sister's a freaking cyborg with a freaking computer memory.
Because the writers said so.
Yeah,
because
they had to go find the Soul Stone.
But at least it was in an argument, so at least the fact that it came out was a little bit more like stupid stuff you say when you're talking to a family member and trying to talk them down.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, at least that was a little more believable. How many times have we said things that we said we weren't going to tell people in a moment of passionate
anger? And I was kind of sad that it was not Hugo Weaving as Red Skull.
Yeah, but he's been real adamant about how much he hated doing a comic book movie.
I think he hated the makeup.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him. He sucked.
Yeah, you picked Red Skull, dude.
I forget the actor's name that did it, but he was great. He's from The Walking Dead. But he does impressions, so that's why they hired him, which I thought was kind of cool. But
that was one of my holy shit moments because I didn't. It took me a minute to realize it was. That's Red Skull. Holy shit, that's Red Skull.
And it seemed like he'd kind of learned from being banished there for, what, 40, 100 years, whatever? Yeah. 40 years or 100 years? I don't
know. 70?
70s? Oh, 40s. Yeah, 40 to 40 now.
Seven, yeah, 70 yeah. years.
So he had a little time to chill. And
yeah.
I did think it was interesting, too. Like, you know, when Gamora was down there, you could see kind of the indentions of where people had hit.
Yeah.
Like, to me, and I was like, I want to know that fucking backstory. I mean, if you're going to make a comic book out of something, do that as, like, a prequel or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I would love to read that shit. Just the many deaths of...
Quest for the Soul Stone. Yes.
Well, and then I liked the fact that when Gamora realized that she was the one that Thanos cared about, but she was very cognizant that his caring was not the correct level of caring. And
in her mind,
I love you. Yeah, it's going to die, but I love you.
Yeah, and she was just like, whatever, dude, whatever.
Well, yeah, because the guy who was playing Red Skull was just like, the tears aren't for him. It was like, oh, man, yeah, this is awesome.
Now, there was a lot of good in there, but yeah. I'm like Tiff. I'm unsated. I'm unfulfilled.
It's because it ended on a cliffhanger, and I knew it was going to end on a cliffhanger.
I was not as upset about the disintegration as others.
It felt. I mean, that's the thing. Is it just sort of was like, yeah, of course, this is what happened.
Right.
I mean, like, you just kind of, like, I had no, there was nothing that made me go, like, oh, my God, Spider-Man, or anybody, because I was just like, moment. Oh, they're going to reset the time, and
yeah,
gonna be
he's
back.
Got the time stone in a reality stone.
I'm, like,
stone,
dead so inside, I think, or something. I'm just like, okay.
Except for the gauntlet cracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sends him away, so they still have to go find him.
But he's on his, like, little luxury planet with his hut.
Yeah. Like, you have the fucking reality stone, bro. At least, like, put a Starbucks there. Jesus.
And death from Meet Joe Black, you know?
Yeah.
A.K.A. Brad Pitt.
Although, with any kind of time travel thing, you're always like, wouldn't you just go back, save your home planet? You don't have to kill everybody. Just go back and save it. Make extra food or something.
Did you see the comic that was like...
the boss in the dick who says, no, we can't do this.
Right. I mean, it's done. It's like, but...
Yeah. There was a comic that I saw today that was like... If you've got the Infinity Stone and the Gauntlet and the whole thing, why don't you just make the world twice as big and double the
you've
stuff?
Got the Reality Stone.
And he just looked at him and was like, "Oh, jaw dropped." I was like, "Yeah,
and that's the thing. I mean, you're turning bullets into bubbles. Why don't you just make more food, dude?"
Yeah.
But he's insane, so. And he thinks he's doing right.
Well, it happened to him, so now it has to happen.
Yeah, it has to happen to everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you guys also feel that his, like, minions, the ones that attacked
Children
Wakanda, like, seem... I've never played World of Warcraft, but I felt like those characters looked like they could have been in World of Warcraft.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yes.
Like, it distracted me in a way. I was like, this is just sort of
except for,
lame.
The skinny dude.
Ebony Maw.
Yeah,
Ebony Maw.
He was the best.
The skinny guy was good.
Yeah.
Ebony Maw,
yeah.
So, just side note, insertion, special plug here. If you go to charlottegeeks.com, Starnes Lord has actually started a series explaining characters in Infinity War that maybe you weren't aware of, and Ebony Maw happens to be the first one that he's talking about.
Well.
I'm not posting the links on the Charlotte Geeks Facebook page so that people who haven't seen it don't get mad at me because the pictures show up with the link.
Yep.
I am talking about it on the Facebook page.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
I'm gonna fuck off out of here and go to my phone in the car and go look that shit up because I don't know nothing about this dude.
They're not huge explanations, but at least it gives you a little background you didn't have before. Well,
because they didn't give you shit in the movie.
Well, and the thing is, it's really odd. So, like, you know, Civil War was actually, you know, when that Captain America movie, that's actually based on comics that are fairly recent.
Yeah.
And also the Children of Thanos, this is not something Jim Starlin created back in the day. Jonathan Hickman created it in 2013, 2014 on his big Avengers run. So it's like, that's not a long time to considering this movie started filming pre-production 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Those characters were 2 years old when they decided to add those, but it's kind of a deterrent for the Avengers because you can't just walk in there just with Thanos. It's kind of, everybody would just be piling on them. So it's these little distractors and it's neat.
Yeah, it's like Galactus' heralds.
Yeah, very good.
But I thought Ebony Maw was the most believable of the Children of Thanos.
Well, although I can see people cosplaying the Dark Elf totally.
Of course. But I mean, the fingers of Ebony Maw, the way that he just kind of did that was very
just icky.
He reminded me kind of like the gentleman from Buffy.
Yes.
He was the one who had an arc. He was the one who had a thing. I mean, the pissed off woman whose dude got killed in Scotland. Okay, whatever. But we didn't see anything of them early. Ebony Maw was a dude. He was a prick. We loved him.
Yeah.
And Wong. Wong stole every scene he was in.
I saw a great thing on Instagram where it was just Wong with a little portal scheming open, and he was looking at Wakanda just kind of crying, like, it's like, poor Wong. He has to defend the Sanctum Sanctorum, so he can't leave. So that's why he wasn't there. I was just like, no.
I'd be like, Wong's smart. Wong, like, y'all go ahead.
As much as I loved the Doctor Strange movie, I felt like Doctor Strange in this movie was much more, well, first of all, he had his full strength, where in the movie he was learning it.
Yeah.
But some of the moves that he does to conjure up the circles of time were a lot more believable this time around.
You're dealing
not
with
quite
wizards.
So hokey. And the action scenes that they had with them and Ebony Maw and all that kind of stuff was a lot more, without having to be so Inception, still very believable in the world that we were in. And I thought it was well done.
And I love his cloak.
I felt a lot less like I had taken mushrooms.
Yeah, I did. I felt like I was totally, like, I could have gotten, we saw Doctor Strange in 2D, and I was like, I totally would have had vertigo.
Yeah.
I would have had vertigo.
Yeah, I saw the previews and knew I did not want to watch that shit in 3D.
No. Yes.
I'd have caroled all over the theater.
That's a verb now, folks. That's a verb.
Oh. But nobody would have noticed because it was in 3D, and they just think it was part of the pretty colors.
Not with what I eat.
If you want to know why carol is now a verb, go back and listen to the previous episode.
It's part of my official lexicon now.
Wakanda, whatever, Takawa, what, Tawaka.
Tawaka.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Wakanda forever.
The only thing I can relate.
Tawaka never.
The only thing I couldn't relate to at all is I can't snap. So when Thanos snapped, I would have been with the gauntlet, like going, oh, fuck. I can't do the thing. I have to.
I can't whistle.
It's okay. You would have pantomimed, and they ADR that shit right in. It's okay. It's fine. You just hold your hand like this, and ADR.
Thank God for the new ages.
So the positive things I want to say about this, because I feel like I'm always negative Nelly about everything, except for Isle of Dogs.
Let's do a separate podcast on that.
I love you, Wes Anderson. But anyway,
a good movie.
Like, I found that when they went to Wakanda, like, I got, like, incredibly excited. Like, even though we just had seen the movie and everything, I was like, Wakanda, hey, Black Panther, hey, Baku. I find him incredibly sexy.
Oh my god, so glad that he was in the movie.
Can we have more?
I love their like chanting and they're like getting each other riled up. I was like, this is cool. And I just think that the movie was at its best, quite frankly, when they were battling. That's when it becomes the coolest. But I also want to give a shout out to Captain America. He to me looked the sexiest he's ever looked. In any of these movies, Chris Evans, call me.
Oh, wow. No, he was copying Thor.
Are we including, like, 1942 shirtless Captain America when Haley Atwell literally couldn't help herself but just reached out and touched him?
Yeah, I'm going to say that, because he was a little too, you know,
clean cut.
Oily. Yeah. Yeah, there was just
too clean cut.
I like that. I like the black outfit and all that. And I was like, okay.
My problem with that battle scene was, I'm like, all right, look, you got Captain America who fought in World War II. You got the entire defenses of a nation, and y'all dumb bastards can't figure out how to get in position before you open the force field. The fuck, y'all?
Fair point.
And I did think it was kind of, well, it's nice that everybody breathes oxygen everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought about that when with Tony, when he was up on the planet and he lost the... Titan. Yeah, I was like, oh.
It's a good thing Titan has an oxygen.
Isn't that the whole thing, is that Peter Quill has to wear that thing in a way?
No, because he wears that thing because he's usually... Well, he's not.
He was a robber.
Well, that, and he can go into space. That's actually kind of a head protection for...
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's what my point is.
Yeah, like,
once you go out the atmosphere.
It at least in Star Wars, like Empire Strikes Back, they, you know, when they have the whole Minok thing, those little creatures on, you know, they're inside the worm basically. Yeah. They don't know. They're in the cave. They're wearing the little gas mask. And that would do jack shit.
Yeah, because it's still, just flopping around.
You're on an asteroid with no atmosphere, basically. But anyway.
Freeze.
But it conveys the thought that to people, like, oh, they're in space.
Right.
And it's
and that. Damn Iron Spider suit. That thing got some shit going on. I'm like, damn, Peter, you didn't freeze out here in space. You didn't get blown off as you accelerate to fucking escape velocity. Yeah. I mean, I know, don't put science in a goddamn superhero movie.
Yeah.
When they showed that scene of him like climbing up and the air blowing, and then you see like the earth below him, even I got like a little like heart skip. I was like, and I'm not afraid of heights, but I was like, oh shit. Like, alone would be like, I'm out.
Well,
bye.
And this character this time is like, he's had no experience with any of this stuff outside of the earth, so it's like, holy fuck. Yeah, I mean, that's terrifying. I mean, right? He's a guy from fucking Queens, man. Yeah. It's like...
He did have the best line in the movie to me. Oh, we're using our made-up names? All right, then I'm Spider-Man.
He's like, and the so look on his Benedict Cumberbatch face, like,
Spider-Man.
And that whole thing with Gamora and then Drax just kind of bringing down the house. It's like, fuck, man. That's so, he's so good. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Dave Bautista has... turned into a really good comic actor.
Yeah.
And I really think with James Gunn and Dave Bautista together.
And that was kind of one of my faults with the movie, is I love the comedy, but I don't think the Russo brothers have quite Taika Waititi or James Gunn's adeptness at doing comedy. So some of it just came a little forced.
I liked that Sean Gunn was on staff, because there's a part of me that kind of says, my brother wouldn't have done it this way.
Yeah.
I was like, Sean Gunn's in this movie. Oh,
he's the stand-in for Rocket.
Yeah. He had dots on him. Rocket was Rocket. And, you know, the only... So, talk about unbelievableness. The only thing that was tough for me was I felt like the story arc of Groot. It was great that he gave part of himself for the handle for Thor, but he wasn't a character.
No. But can you?
He was 2D.
Well, he's a teenager. They're all 2D, aren't they? But he picked up the hammer.
Different hammer. It's not Mjolnir.
Yeah.
It's Stormbringer.
Okay, so anybody can pick up Stormbringer?
I don't know, but
it's not this. It doesn't have inscripted on it.
Yeah,
only though the U is worthy can pick up the hammer of Thor. So yeah, it's not that extreme.
Does this mean we get Beta Ray Bill?
Fuck, that would be incredible. Yeah,
I want Beta Ray Bill,
and the technology's here where it would look cool. So yeah,
Henry Cavill should play him.
Well, he's kind of like a horse looking guy. So I don't think not from the waist down.
I'm sure Henry Cavill's part horse.
Whatever. Oh.
And I absolutely love Ned's little part. Ned, I need a distraction. We're all going to die.
Yes.
Just right there. Like,
he was my favorite in Spider-Man Homecoming. Just
the guy in the chair.
I've used that in a book since then. I've used that in a bubble book.
I'm looking at porn.
Too funny. Well, and you know, and for all of it, I mean, I was appreciative that Pepper Potts was in there, because you know that was in there. But I also appreciate that we didn't try to get everybody in there. We didn't try to do all of the side characters of every single story.
No, I mean, side characters were given their little one. Ned had his little one note. Pepper Potts had her little one note.
And we'll have a whole other movie to put other folks in there, too. Yeah. So, which is cool.
Because we'll have half of them anyway.
Yeah. Right. So they're half gone.
You're fillers. So, No, but no, I think it'll be good. And I think, too, that, you know, part of the thing, too, is this Ant-Man Wasp movie is coming out afterwards. So there may be things that if Ant-Man was in the first part, we wouldn't understand how he had certain things, which we would understand the second half.
I think Captain Marvel is going to come out 2 months before the next.
That's the Black Panther before.
Yeah. And it's set in the 90s, which is going to be pretty interesting. So, yeah.
And we'll have a two-eyed Nick Fury.
Yeah. Yep. With hair, I've
heard. With hair. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Why is it always going to be motherfucking hair? So grade.
I'm still at a B plus.
How do you grade this?
B plus.
Okay. Tiffles, still?
I'm gonna stick with the, like, probably B minus.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm still gonna say A just because nothing's been this large in the technology to even do this. So it's I'm screaming happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Given the immensity of the project, I would definitely stay in the A category.
I could be upgraded. I could be talked up to an A minus.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely, I enjoyed it. I'll be happy to watch it again when it's on Netflix. I'll probably own a digital version of it that I don't steal. I'll probably buy it when it's available on iTunes or whatever. And when the next one comes out, I don't know that I'm going to binge watch the entire canon because I didn't this time.
No, we did Captain America. We did the original Iron Man. So.
I'll watch the pertinent ones. I think you need to see. I think to get everything you need, Ragnarok, Black Panther, the other Avengers movies,
mm-hmm. and Guardians,
at least Guardians 1.
And Homecoming with Spider-Man.
I don't think you really do need
Homecoming, although that introduces Ned. But Ned is given this one line. I would say you
need Civil War, which, although it's Captain America, it really is an Avengers movie to me.
I definitely think you need Civil War. I think you can get away without. I think you can get away without any of the Iron Man solo movies. I think enough of the Iron Man stuff is captured in Avengers.
Yeah, because it's the whole thing that haunts him, what happened in Avengers, not actually his solo movies.
So. I think you can enjoy it without seeing Black Panther because Susie hasn't seen Black Panther and she enjoyed it.
Cool.
Yeah, somebody asked because they were concerned because Black Panther isn't coming out on DVD for 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's been doing so well. It's still in theaters. Yeah. So
it actually went up because it got the bounce back because people were probably like, oh, it's still playing over here. I'm going to go watch it now.
Yeah. Well, they were probably like, oh, Avengers is sold out. Well, let's go see Black Panther. The second time I saw this, I saw it with my roommate, Mia, and she had not seen Black Panther, and she had no problem at all.
Yeah. I said to them, you won't be lost,
but
you'll miss things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you wouldn't know that Shuri is T'Challa's sister.
Yeah.
And that she's a badass. You just know that she's
smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, and what the options were for healing and stuff. And then
you wouldn't know
what the general, who the general was or why the fact that, say his name again. Not
Manape?
Yeah.
Well, what's his name? Is it Baku?
Baku.
They're not calling him Manape in the movies.
Right. That's I was trying not to say Manape. Thank you for saying for me.
That's his thing. That's in the his comic thing. Books.
Yeah. No, I know that, and that was all I could think of. So Baku.
M'Baku. There's an
M. M'Baku.
Yeah. He's a vegan.
Thunderbolt Ross in the very beginning.
Ross was a prick.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing you need the Hulk movie for would be Thunderbolt Ross. And have we even had a Hulk movie with Mark Ruffalo?
No.
No.
We've just had the bad Hulk movies,
We've had
Ed Norton and Eric Bana.
Yeah, so we've had non-canonical Hulk movies.
Well, Norton is canon.
Norton is canon. Yeah. Yeah, Norton is canon.
Because at the end...
Well, because he was supposed to be in the Avengers, but he was such a prick that they fired him.
Right.
He was just too damn good.
He wanted a producer credit, and he wanted a cut in the editing process, and Marvel, Disney's like, no. We've got where we're going with this.
And conversely, Robert Downey Jr. says, you're going to have to give everybody around me a raise for Avengers 2, or I'm not doing the movie.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Little bit of difference between the two there.
And, you know, We were talking about it off mic about the whole picture that's been going around of Hemsworth, Taika Waititi, and the cuddle picture of Loki Hiddleston, and the fact that it was taken by Mark Ruffalo. And then also the fact that Mark Ruffalo has been such a strong supporter for, like, the fact that there was no Black Widow, you know, action figures and stuff like that, and just...
Well, and Mark Ruffalo's the one that talked Josh Brolin into taking the part.
Yes.
Right. And let's just talk about the fact that, okay, we have Robert Downey Jr., who came from a bad place and now is such on the other side.
He is Tony Stark.
Yeah. But he's such on the other side. And you've got Mark Ruffalo, who's so caring about the world. And you've got Chris Evans, who's certainly right in that, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some pretty incredible people, let alone actors. And that's what I enjoy about the fact that these movies are doing well. Because they're not yucky people doing well. They're cool people.
It's also a series that's redeemed two really shitty human torches.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah,
no doubt. Although I will say Michael B. Jordan was probably the best thing about that Fantastic Four movie.
Bar is low.
Bar is so fucking low.
Fan four stick.
I have to say, though, Peter Chiklis is Fantastic Four.
If you go back and rewatch them,
I have, but.
And it's Michael Chiklis.
Michael. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Okay.
You're still loving you some Peter Dinklage, which is fine.
Okay. This is the truth.
Yeah.
I took a real estate class with Michael's brother, Peter Chiklis.
I just definitely heard Dickless there. No,
he was kind of.
Now I never will.
That's
hear
all I can ever be able to hear. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah. So this was in Chelmsford, Massachusetts, which Michael Chiklis is from there, and I took a Century 21 real estate license class and passed. But yeah, Peter Chiklis was in the class with us, and
did he pass?
He's probably begging his brother for money.
Can't get the
now.
Gold jacket.
Well, it was kind of funny because he was kind of one of those sit back jock know it all types. And then I was like, Chiklis. I'm like, are you related? I said, there's an actor called Michael Chiklis. And you saw his whole face like fall because the commission had been off the air for a while. I was like, yeah, it's my brother. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I said, yeah, I love him. He goes, yeah, he's doing pretty well on Broadway. And it was like, okay, I understand. You're trying to be big man real estate agent because you want to make a life for yourself or whatever, but get over it. So, yeah, that was my slippage. I'm sorry. Freud.
That's so much better.
But no, I went back and rewatched Rise of the Solar Surfer, and I was...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the original Fantastic Four when he's sitting on the bridge because he's like, his life is miserable.
Well, yeah, he was good.
That's what I'm saying.
That gets it a... That's 1 out of 4. That gets it a 25.
I understand. Well, but I'm just saying... No, but I'm saying of all the characters that we lost, I hate the fact that because of the rest of the movie didn't stand up, we lost... version of the thing. Yeah.
We can get
them
back.
Disney. Yeah. I wish Disney would. Does Disney have the rights to Fantastic Four now?
Yep.
Well, the thing is, it's not completely official. They're trying to hold it up, which I know is just fucking up.
Trust.
Yeah. Which could really fuck up this next movie because they could have a little pop in there.
Well, they could also just license it out, license it backwards, just like they did with Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what other movies have we seen?
Just Isle of Dogs.
Oh, Tiffles, did you happen to see Isle of Dogs?
I did.
What did you think?
I loved it.
Okay, great.
I actually loved it too.
I did too. It's a really good movie, and I always love his movies, but this is definitely the wackiest one I've seen.
I think Fantastic Mr. Fox a little bit more.
Oh really?
Yeah. Not me. But that's Roald Dahl.
I love dogs. So
But Isle of Dogs is very sweet. It's very good. There's a lot of Japanese that is not subtitled, so just in case you're going to see it.
Yeah, the humans speak Japanese and the dogs speak
English. But some of the humans speak English as well because there's a foreign exchange.
I heard a rumor.
One of the dogs. You hear these rumors. I don't know. Dogs talk. I listen. Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, as a dog. I love Jeff Goldblum.
It's delightful. It's a really delightful movie.
What Edward Norton actually does pretty well in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what other movies have we seen?
I saw You Were Never Really Here.
And were you glad you were there for You Were Never Really Here?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that was the squintiest IES I've heard all day.
That sounds like a C-.
Joaquin Phoenix is amazing.
But he always is.
Well, he is a hell of an actor.
Yeah. The movie around him, it doesn't quite gel. It's very violent, but he is scary, ridiculously amazing, and I recommend the movie just for his performance alone.
Theater or Netflix?
Netflix. You can Netflix that one. Yeah, it's an Amazon Studios movie. I'm actually surprised it got a fairly wide
release.
They're
doing that. They're doing that now because they want to know if they can get it. They're trying for an Oscar.
Yeah, and
so it's probably already gone by the time anybody hears this. It's probably out of theaters.
I think. Yeah. By the time it might not make the next weekend.
Yeah.
But.
So Amazon Prime that shit. Yeah. It's probably on Amazon Prime now.
Yeah. And this is directed by the same person that did We Need to Talk About Kevin. So if you liked We Need to Talk About Kevin, which is...
That's a very, very
dark movie that stars Ezra Miller and Tilda Swinton. And I highly recommend that movie. It's that is scary, ridiculously good. And it's about a school shooter and his mom.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But...
Nope.
Yeah. I read that like...
Right the fuck
back in 2007.
Yeah.
So
so it's done by the same person, and it's done kind of the same way. There's a lot of flashbacks, but I recommend this movie simply for Joaquin Phoenix because he is very, very good in it.
And what else have we seen? Anybody?
Quiet Place. Okay, a Quiet Place. That
I think I mentioned that the last time. Did I mention that the last time?
Yeah,
I hadn't seen it though, so I had seen it. I've seen it now. It scared me.
It's very good. It's very very good.
I don't watch very many movies.
I haven't. I've been catching up on series as usual.
Yeah, so. I'm on Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay, I'm not there yet.
I'm not up. I'm just working my way through season 2. I gave up on that shit show after halfway through season 1 because it was such a goddamn train wreck. But so many people kept saying, it gets better in season 2, it gets better in season 2. And holy shit, does it get better in season 2. Oh my God, they have people with actual... chemistry and actors that don't seem to hate each other. And I don't
they
know if
find
they actually,
their way. Yeah,
I don't know if they actually hated each other in season 1, but yeah, season 1 was a pile of crap, but season 2 is really good.
Yeah. I mean, my next movies to be excited about, of course, are Deadpool and Wasp and Ant-Man, Wasp. So
I'm actually looking if Solo, A Star Wars Story is just fun from the way these trailers are being cut. I'm in because
I love that trailer
it's
showed
for
Avengers.
Yeah.
And have you seen the trailer with Beastie Boys Sabotage?
Yeah,
it's over it.
Yeah,
they should just do that for every movie trailer now. Just
I think so. It does work with any.
And put Sabotage on it.
I'm in it just for Donald Glover because I think he is perfect as as young Lando. But
I see the Millennium Falcon like new to me. I'm like, whoa, the thing's not beat up yet. It's awesome.
And Donald Glover's like a modern day Billy D. Williams. Mm-hmm. He is the coolest motherfucker on the planet right now.
So, yeah, I'll go see it. It's got Star Wars. I fucking saw the prequels in the theater, so I'll go see it.
Me too.
It can't be that. It can't be worse than that. It can't be.
I saw I Feel Pretty, which is actually quite funny. I would really recommend it. I mean, I don't think you have to like rush out and see it on the big screen or anything, but I mean, I laughed way more than I expected to, and I thought that the message was pretty good, and I kind of appreciate that Amy Schumer doesn't really mind looking kind normal? Of ridiculous, sort of, and normal, but I really enjoyed it more than I expected to, and then I made... You know, I have Movie Pass like Matt does, and so subsequently you go to see shit that you would not pay to see. So I had seen
the beauty of Movie Pass.
Exactly, 100%. So I saw the preview for Super Troopers 2, and I saw Super Troopers back in the day.
Yeah.
And literally the only reason I went to go see this was because the Super Troopers take over as the police force of a Canadian town that's being integrated into America. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm fucking obsessed with Canada. And so I went to see this, and it was as... ridiculous. Sort of terrible and ridiculous as you'd expect it to be.
Okay.
So it was everything you expected.
It really was. It really was.
Awesome. Anything else?
No.
Oh, I did see that their Riff Trax, I forget what they're doing, Space Mutiny is the next one they have. And we have to go see that. That's in June.
I will definitely see that live because they actually did that for Mystery Science Theater 3000. It is a horrible, horrible film starring Reb Brown. And oh god, the name escapes me. The bad guy's name is Calgon.
Take me away,
John Philip Law. John Philip Law. But yeah, it is horrible. But yeah. For those of you who love Mystery Science Theater 3000, they spent the entire movie making up names for Reb Brown's character. So it was Blast, Hard Chunk, Big McLarge, Huge.
So, I don't think Riff Tracks will disappoint us either.
I don't think so. But Space Mutiny is a great one to riff. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out, John. Always a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for having me. Now that we've done a couple episodes, you're not going to keep me chained up in the garage anymore?
We didn't say that.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
We'll discuss it.
No promises.
Y'all go buy a bunch of my fucking books so I can buy my way out of the indentured servitude and no longer have to do Starnes Lord's dishes.
Including the newest book, Zombies Ate My Homework.
Where you too can learn how to kill zombies with butt plugs.
Also, you need to go to con-tajan.org
and buy your tickets to Geek Gala before you can't. That's right. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.